know, this afternoon about believing. You know, it matters what we believe. I mean, it absolutely is vital to our life to believe the right way. You know, because if we don't believe the right way, what we believe determines what God's able to do for us. Now, I know that a lot of people think that God is sovereign, and he is. I mean, he's sovereign. He's God. He created everything, you know. But the Bible says that he's bound to his word. And so, I mean, there's a boundary. That's how come, you know, it's God's will that everybody be saved. For God so loved the world, John 3, that he gave his only begotten son. It's his will that everybody, but everybody's not saved. And you know why? Because they have a part to play in the salvation that's already been. I mean, somebody can live their whole life and not go to heaven, and it's not God's fault. It is absolutely not God's fault. I mean, but there's absolutely nothing he can do about it, because he's not a dictator. You know, he's God, but he give us free will and free choice. But what we believe is going to determine how much of what God can do in our lives, praise God. You know, and what I'm saying here really is the Bible. We got to believe based on the Bible, not based on circumstances and culture and what's going on in our lives, how we was raised. Listen, this Bible, Jesus leveled the playing field. I mean, he wiped away our sins, our past, you know, and we became new creations in Christ Jesus. And then we got to get in there and we got to find out in the Bible what God says about us, what the Bible says about us, you know. And this Bible, with the Holy Spirit, it's not just the Bible. See, it's got to be a heart after God. When a heart's after God, then the Holy Spirit begins to take that Bible and make it real, revelation, you know, that the Bible says that the gates of hell can't prevail again. He said, upon this rock, he told Peter, the revelation, you know, that Peter had from God, and he told Peter, he said, and upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail. He was talking about the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God, that God had revealed that to him. Well, you know, it's not just that. Revelation comes about who we are, you know, where we, you know, just like my past. You know, I don't like to bring up my past, but it wasn't me. Somebody can say, well, you used to get stoned with that bunch. That wasn't me. I mean, and that's not a lie. You know, I got to believe based on the Bible now, not what somebody says. Well, how do I get that? Because the Bible says, old things passed away, things become new, and all things are God. It says that we're new creations in Christ Jesus. So I got to consider that old man is not me. Your old man is not you. All the mistakes and the past. But see, the thing about it is, if we didn't walk with the Lord, I walked without the Lord for 27 years. You know, so the world kind of had me in a train of thinking. You know, because I come out of a big family. There were 17 of us, full brothers and sisters. I mean, gravy was good, Mac. Big pan. Son, you talking about biscuits. I mean, Lucky's ain't got nothing on Mom. I mean, if you get up in the mornings and you've got two huge pans of biscuits, huge. Lucky's would have loved Mom. You know, they're a daily thing out there. Not Lucky's. We told them. Yeah, we told them biscuits. But you know what? It was really, and you're so raised that way in a big family. We didn't have a lot. We really didn't. But we didn't know it. You know, we didn't know we didn't have a lot. That was life, man. We just living on the mountain, climbing the mountains, and all kinds of stuff, you know. But I got born again, and see, I'd been being ingrained, indoctrinated through circumstances, and we can't afford nothing, and you'll never have nothing, and blah, 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 you know, and all that stuff. Well, I get born again, and I go to a radical church like ours, like this one. It was kind of radical, I thought, man. I mean, they got down with the music, and you had some shouting going on, some prophesying. And I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, man, these people are crazy. Because all I'd ever really been to was a church with a piano with a big bun, you know, and we getting saved every week, salvation every week. It was just every week. You know, that's the only sermon I was hearing. So I got up there, and man, it was just seemingly radical. But it wasn't really radical. I was in a real bunch that loved Jesus. And they was excited about the Lord. You know, they had all the instruments. I thought if you had anything other than a piano, you was too radical. You know. But at the same time, I come out of the rock and roll culture where, you know, we're doing cocaine on Friday night, and I mean, we're ZZ Top and all them, you know, Kiss and all them. Boy, I mean, we getting, you know, Floyd, Pink Floyd, was it Pink Floyd? He was the radical one, you know. I mean, we booming every Friday night, man, you know, and all that. So see, the hymn books didn't appeal to me much. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, we sang all the, you know. So that was just boring to me, you know. But here I am over in the church, and I'm not doubting that. That's great, you know. I believe the older and the younger can come together and worship together, whether it be hymn books. We got hymn books up here. Somebody told me, they said, hey, well, why don't y'all have hymn books? I said, we just sung one you was in service with. No hymn books. I said, we took it out of the hymn book. We just put it up there. I said, we had a hymn book sung, you didn't even know it. I said, that's tradition. Traditions of men make the word of God none effect, the Bible says, you know. So here I am up there in this radical church, and I'm looking around, you know, and I'm like, wow, man, I didn't know you could get wild in church. I mean, we had people shouting, running around the church, crawling. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, the power of God moving in that place. But you know, God did it for a reason. Here I am in there, and I go, and the preacher, once we settled in there, he said, you need to read that Bible, need to read that Bible, need to read that Bible. So I go, and I start reading that Bible. But you know, you're in a Christian realm then, see, because I didn't want to go hang out with them anymore, the people that, because I've been saved. Mac, I mean, I've been saved. I felt it. My life had changed, you know. I wasn't no bolt of lightning. It's just that I cried out, Lord, and I said, Lord, if you're really real, you know, help me. That's all I did, and I got born again that morning. And so my life is different, but you know what I found out? I couldn't help it. I got to talk about Jesus. I mean, everywhere I go, I go back to work, and I'll mention Jesus, and they're like, is that Scotty Weston? Is that Scotty Weston? Same place, man. You know, they're like, man, what happened to him? My boss come to me one time, and I wasn't trying to be different. I didn't know I was being changed and transformed till they told me. It was just happening. It's not that I felt it and all that. It was just happening in my life, you know. And my boss come to me, and he said, what's happened to you, man? I said, I got saved. Well, I started getting in that Bible. See, now I believed a lot of wrong stuff. You know, there's still a lot of religious folk on this planet right now. They're into churches, but they're mean. They're not. They don't walk in love, and I mean, they go through the motions, you know, and talk about Jesus, but they never let Jesus change them. See, I mean, there's got to be a change that we let God take place, but we got to believe right to have that change to take place right. Once we're born again, see, you can't even get born again unless you hear about what Jesus done. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the, I had to have heard that Jesus died on the cross, you know, that he was buried and raised from the dead and brought salvation, the grace to us, and brought salvation to us, praise God. And you know what? I had to hear that for me to even say, Lord, if you're really real, help me. Well, I really meant it that morning. And you know what? I tried to backslide later, Matt, and couldn't even do it. I'm like, good God, life just sucks without Jesus. I think, God, man, once you've been touched, the world's miserable. It's just miserable out there, man. That's why I thought to go to church. I really love coming to church. I'm sleepy right now, but hey, that's not me. That's just flesh. You know? I was tired before I come to church. Look, I mean, look at Shannon. He ain't even took a bath yet. We smelt you. No, I'm just kidding. But God, he come to church, man. He got off of work in time to get to the house of the Lord, you know. Why? Because the house of the Lord's changed him. Jesus has changed him. And the Word changed him, hallelujah, to where you want the things of God. And you know what? He was just talking a little bit. I mean, he's got a great testimony. We'll let him get up here and share the whole thing one day, maybe. Praise God. It'll take a couple of services. Have to be part one, two and a half. He'd been in trouble for a long time until he got saved. He thought he'd go to prison and never get out. He's free. Hallelujah. Don't the Bible say in the Word, whom the Son sets free is free? Well, he's been freed from prison. He's been freed from that. Even to the point I was thinking about it the other day. You know, and I don't give us any credit, but we do believe strongly in the Word of God. What you believe is very important. You believe the wrong thing, you're going to get wrong results. But if you believe the right thing and go after and pursue the right thing, then you get God results. You get good results in your life. A bright future, hallelujah. I mean, he takes lives and turns them around. It's amazing to me how in the ministry, I've met people where I thought they're impossible. They're so messed up, you know, man. I mean, God. And then turn that thing over to God and say, yeah, but you're a big God, Lord. I give them to you and yield them to you and lift them up to you. And I mean, before you know it, that God, they're blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, it ain't been that long. And I was trying not to hear too much of his story. Because I'm thinking, dude. It's going to take Jesus and God. Jesus couldn't even do this by himself. I mean, just start thinking, you know, man. I'm like, golly, bum, hallelujah. I don't know if going to church is going to help him that much. But I mean, your thoughts are there. See, you can think that about your situation. But the Bible says that God is able to do abundantly above, but beyond what we can ask for. That's a pretty big statement. The Bible says all things. See, I knew I'm not just picking on Shannon. But I thought, man, if I can just keep him under the Word and we keep the anointing like we got and with the presence of the Lord and get him after God, then there's nothing God can't do for him. And 10 years down the road, he may be the millionaire that's going to come in this church and say, I'm planting $500,000. I'm going to say, I'm paying my house off. Can I please? Yeah. I'm looking for y'all millionaires. I expect them. Somebody told me one time, they said, that little church of yours. I said, what little church? I said, my God, we ain't no little church down there in Bluntville. It might be them other little block buildings. Right, God, but we're warriors. We're big. One puts 1,000. Two puts 10. We don't consider ourselves small. We don't even think about it. We don't consider we rocking the world for Jesus. We're reaching all into the world right now. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Black God, and he told me to do it in 2008, and we've been on the internet worldwide since 2008 at the command of the Lord, hallelujah. I didn't know how we was going to do it, how we was going to pay for it, all that good stuff. I yielded that. See, your life belongs to him. All of your problems you can give to him and say, God, these are your problems. You said in your word you would supply all of my needs spiritually, financially, you know, physically, Lord, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. And I mean, stand on that, and not when you're in church, when you're out there having to drag your old leg that don't want to go with you. Drag that baby and tell it you're going with me. See, that's not radical. That's in the Bible. I mean, here Job is in sackcloth and ashes, and he said, though the Lord slay me, yet will I serve him. Now, he didn't understand God was, you know, God not trying to slay him. He didn't understand. But his heart, even in that state, said, even though he slay me, yet will I serve him. See, that's dedication. And you know what? He raised old Job up, but God. And I mean, the end old Job had twice as much as what he had when he started out. Praise God. Just turned to the Lord and repented. You know, Job had to repent. God went to Job after Job said all of that. And God went to Job and said, where were you when I set the moon? Where were you? In other words, he's telling Job, look, you don't know who you're talking to. You're talking to God. Who were you? Where were you? And then Job repented. Job repented, and then when Job repented, God moved in. God moved in, see? And it's kind of like, you know, I heard somebody say the other day, they said, all I've got to do is get out of God's way. It's talking about in their life. All I've got to do is get out of God's way. And I thought, that's awesome, man. All we got to do is get out of God's way and let God be God. But you know, you've got to believe right. You've got to believe the right thing. The Bible says that you're the righteousness of God. But I'm not perfect, Brother Scotty. It didn't say you're the righteousness of God if you're perfect. The Bible says we have been made the righteousness of God. So we can go around and we can not be perfect. Somebody say, well, he can't be righteous because of this. And you say, nope, not based on that. I'm not going to believe based on that. I'm going to believe based on the Bible. And I'm going to walk with my head high based on the Bible that I'm the righteous. No, I'm not perfect yet. No, I got flaws. Yes, I still know I don't know everything. But that don't matter. I'm going to believe what the Bible says. Amen. We must let the Word alone. This is something that I've got in me, and I won't bend from it. We as Christians must let the Word alone be the basis of what we're going to believe. The Word alone. Yeah, but my body's not healed. No, you got to believe the Bible. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. You can't let your body tell you you're not. If you do, you're going to need more than one doctor. I mean, Teresa goes and gets that vertigo junk. Thank God it had a name, Mac. Bible says everything that has a name has to bow at the name of Jesus. Thank God it had a name. So we take her to the doctor, believing God, you know, all the time, standing on the Word, go to the doctors. I mean, she's drunk and ain't even drank nothing. She can't mow the grass. That is awful. She mows all our 3 acres. Can't cook, can't stand up to cook, can't drive no more. I mean, she did a lot, man. I mean, I'm like, what are we going to do? I mean, she does a lot. She goes and gets the church stuff and takes care of the church bills and takes care of my business, runs errands and all kinds of stuff for the church and me and other things she does, you know. And all of that was stopped. Went to the doctor. They can't do nothing. Nothing we can do for you. That's not a good report. Well, now you're going to have to believe something. You're either going to have to believe that report is what you're going to live by, or you're going to have to say, nope, the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Well, you know what? I go in, and she's sitting on the couch. She slept on the couch for a long time, couldn't go to bed and lay down, had to sleep sitting up. For a long time. I don't remember, man. It went on for a year maybe close or longer. I don't know. But if... And then I got to come down here and preach. Oh, believe God, you'll be healed. Well, I'm challenged whether I believe what I've been preaching or not. See, you're going to have circumstances come to your life. Even when you get that Bible in there and you done made your mind up, you're going to believe. You're going to have circumstances, devils, and people that will try to pull that word out of your heart, get you to cast off the restraint of the enemy. And you know what? Go in, and she said, I'm stuck in this body. And I had this thought. I thought, that body's not us. But God, that body is only, listen, that car is not you, even when you're in it. It's a vehicle that's going to carry you from place to place. Did you know that's what our body is? It's just a vehicle. We're really on the inside. If you don't believe me, go to a funeral. Think about this. Go to a funeral. You know, when somebody dies, that body's just laying there. That person's come out of there. That person that was in there has come out. Hallelujah. That's a reality. I had a revelation. I used to go to funerals. I didn't even know nobody. I wanted to go see how they was. So I'd go to funerals. I don't know nobody. They didn't know it, Mac. They thought I was a distant cousin or something. I'm going to funerals, don't even know nobody. I'm called to preach. I got to know how these funerals are going. I didn't know, man. Don't the Bible say study to show yourself approved? Well, how am I going to study a funeral if I don't go? Right? I don't know. I got to go study. You know? So I'm going to these funerals, and I started hearing sermons out of the Bible, you know, that's just preached only at funerals. And I'm like, no, I live by that. That ain't a funeral. That's not a dead man's sermon. That's mine. Psalms 23 was one of them. But you know what? I go in there and I'm like, oh, Jesus. See, I done been fasting, Johnny. I done been praying for my wife. I done been, she's confessed. And I go in and the Lord says she's got a fight. And I go back in there, and I said, you got to fight. And she said, well, I believe God. And I had a revelation because I don't even know what I'm saying other than what God's telling me to say. I don't know. But I had a revelation whenever he told me that, and I went in there, and she said, I believe. You know, I said, but you got to fight. So, I mean, there's a difference in believing and fighting. You can believe and sit on the couch and never go nowhere. But if you believe in fights, believe and gets up and says, "Black God," so you know what she did? No more secular TV in our house. All praise and worship preaching. Went and got that Bible, got her scriptures, put them on the refrigerator, went out on the porch every day and took her medicine, the scriptures, the word of God. She took it every day. And then for a little while, it built up faith in her, praise God. Come in one day and she said, let's go. You know, she had the keys. I said, well, let's go. I reached for the keys. She said, I'm driving. I said, huh? I don't remember if I said it or not, but my thought was, I don't like to drive with a drunk woman. And she said, heal people, drive. And I thought, I got to use my angels on this one, black God. I said, let's go. So I got in. I thought, I don't fear nothing anyhow, but God got the angels of the Lord. And I'm going to help her walk this walk of faith. She was going out by faith. She still was drunk, still all that stuff, Mac. But she believed see, when you really believe in, there'll be some action that'll be pushing you to go beyond what you think you can't do. And bless God, she drives today. And she cooks. And thank God, she mows. And thank God she goes and gets all the stuff for the church and everybody else, black God, hallelujah. But you know what? She could have laid, that's what I'm talking about. See, what do we believe? We got to believe the right stuff. We got to believe the Bible. You know, I mean, my circumstances used to tell me, they don't no more, black God. When the circumstances come, I see it as a doorstep higher up in Jesus. My circumstances used to, you ain't going nowhere. You're just a nobody. You know how you really are. You know, and I'd be like, oh, I'm called to preach, and I told the Lord, who am I going to preach to? I got to go to Florida. Ain't nobody going to believe me. I've been smoking dope and doing cocaine and all that stuff, Lord. I've sold it to them, Lord. I got to move out. I'm like, ain't nobody going to listen to me preach. I'm saved now, but they don't. I mean, I've been doing drugs. Everybody knows me. But you know what? Then the Lord, I mean, I had a revelation. The Lord said, he said, you can sit out in the middle of a cow pasture with nobody there and preach and somebody will get saved. In other words, God was telling me, you ain't got to go nowhere. You take, and then he spoke to me. He said, take the word where I, in Isaiah, where Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. He said, meditate on that and meditate on that. So I went and got that, and for about 4 or 5 months, praise God, every night I would quote that over myself. And I'd say, the Spirit of God is on me because Jesus is on the inside of me and he's anointed me. I've been a preacher ever since. But God, I mean, I get withdrawals. If I don't preach very long, I mean, I got to preach. I mean, that's the way I feel. See, and now I'm addicted to believing God. I'm addicted. I mean, you need to get addicted. I I mean, you know, when I'm believing God for something, there's an excitement there. But when I get it, I got to find something else to excitement lead. It's addicting. I mean, honestly, believing God is addicting. It's a good thing to be addicted to. Hallelujah. But you know, let's turn to Mark. Give me that script. Zach's finally getting to do something. And Jesus answering, saying to them, how, this is in red now, this is Jesus. Have faith in God. And he's fixing to tell them some stuff down there. We'll get on into it in a minute. But he's telling the disciples, y'all got to have faith in God. You got to have faith in God, I'm telling you. You got to have faith in God. Faith is not some weird thing. The Bible says every man has been given the measure. If we've been given faith when we're born again, we've been given faith through the word by the Holy Spirit. Go on, give me another one. He said, for verily I say to you, Jesus said this, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and all of a sudden when I read that, the Lord led me to it, and I read that, I thought, what's a mountain mean, Lord? What's a mountain? So I went in there and God started doing a little word study on mountain. A mountain is something exalted that rises up. You know, and I thought, oh, I see sickness, disease, oppression, fear, car blowing up, light bill shot up, needed extra money, whatever. Something that exalts itself. That's exalting. That's rising up. Have you ever had, I mean, just a few weeks ago, I mean, everything I had was breaking down. Jobs wasn't working out. People wasn't paying me. Just a few weeks ago, everything was going backwards in my life. I mean, to the point to where I thought, God, just let me go work for D. Get me a job where she can deal with everything breaking down. She can deal with the rent. She can deal with inflation. And she'll just have to pay me, that's all. And then all of a sudden, see, listen, all of a sudden I had to catch myself and say, nope, glory to God, I'm in the middle of God's will. And then I brought y'all the sermon about the little babies, chicken babies. I'd help them out and they'd die. Or they wouldn't have fully developed. Hardship only makes you stronger if you have faith in God. And you speak to that mountain. Nope, I'm not making no wrong. I was pressured to make decisions that would get me out from under the pressure, but would cost me in the long run. I mean, those were wiser than the devil. But we can't let the pressure come in, because he says, whosoever shall say unto these trucks. Come on, somebody. Whosoever shall say to their body that don't feel well. Whosoever shall say to the mountain is anything that is exalted. So, see, God wants to be exalted in our life. I mean, we got to see everything we're facing with God in the picture in our life. That's exalting him. And then taking the word of God and saying, okay, my house ain't here, but here's the puzzle. He'll supply all of my need. Poof. I'm putting that in there. Hallelujah. And you know what? That positions God, but you know, everything is not really just up to God. He said these Christians can say to the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in, and shall not doubt. There's the key. Shall not doubt. Don't look at your circumstance and say, well, I don't know. I mean, at the time I was trying to learn some of these things, had a guy come up to me and he said, well, you know, son, the Lord taketh, giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what the Job said. I mean, no, Job wasn't born again. You ever thought about that? There wasn't no Jesus come into anybody till the book of Acts. There was some ignorance going on back yonder. God come on them, talked to them. Moses went up and he wrote everything on rocks that God told him. Then come on down out of his presence. Everybody wasn't in it. See, Job was ignorant about, and so at that time, you know, I thought, well, that just blows. And I thought, that's not what Scripture says. I said, where's one of them in the New Testament, man? I said, can you find any of that in the New Testament? What? That God giveth and God taketh away. Seeking Mac, I was going around broke, man. My life still in shambles, and I was saying, I'm blessed going in. Blessed going. I was reading Deuteronomy 28 every morning. I couldn't, it got in me till I believed it. I'm reading it every morning. And I'm like, God, I'm hearkening to your voice. I'm going to church. That's all I need to do. Just go to church. Try not to cuss nobody out anymore. Try not to punch no teeth out, you know, just tried my best to walk in love. But you know what? That word started working on the inside of me. It started working. And you know what? I started speaking of those mountains. I started binding that devil I found out up there in that radical church that we could plead the blood of Jesus. I found out, you know, and when I first heard that, I thought, man, how can you plead the blood of Jesus? I mean, it's stupid to me at that time. I'm thinking, how many knows Paul said in Romans, he said, the carnal mind is an enemy to God. See, everything we do, we gotta do it because of our faith. So I apply the blood of Jesus. I walk out in the morning. I apply it to my business. I just plead the blood of Jesus today. Lord, over my business, over my body, over my wife. You know, I got the blood of Jesus pleaded over this church. I'm not one bit afraid of COVID-19 for you or anybody else. It's real. Wear your mask. Do it if you, I mean, you know, I'm not afraid. If when it comes here, it has to die. Why? Because Psalms 91 says that no plague will come nigh our dwelling. Well, that's not just here. I use it out yonder. Walmart can be full of it, and I won't get it. Why? Because the Bible says no plague will come nigh my dwelling. See, I done heard one real case to where there was a plague over in another country that was killing everybody, and a man of God over here, praise God, he said, take me over there. Oh, don't go over there. You're going to die. He told him, he said, put it on me. He said, put that on me. He said, it has to die. It'll die on me. They put the plague on him, and it died right under the microscope. It died. He went over there and started getting them healed. And I mean, just saving lives over there through the blood and power and faith of God. Not afraid of that thing, you know. But he says, be thou removed and be thou cast, and shall not doubt it, but shall. And how are you not going to doubt? You've got to stay focused on the Word of God. You've got to meditate on the Word of God. You've got to exalt Jesus in your trials. Hallelujah. God told me one time, I said, well, won't you come on to church? Now I'm going to AA. He said, listen, man. He said, I'm going to always be a recovering addict. I said, if you'll let me lead you to Jesus and get Jesus, you ain't recovered nothing. You done been redeemed. I said, and you can get rid of that crazy thinking. I said, I don't know what they're teaching you. I said, that's fine. They're helping you. It looks like you're clean for now. I said, but listen, your kind of thinking, you're going to relapse anytime, because you ain't going to never be nothing but a recovering addict. And that mentality right there will cause you to be weak in your heart. I said, but if you'll get the Scripture in there where it says whom the Son sets free is free, and replace it with that covering attic, you know, you'll walk free of the fear of going back. How many knows fear will get you? Yes, it is. From the enemy. But he said here, he says, and shall not doubt, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You got to say it. The word mountain, to rise up, to lift up. Rising in the air. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting there, and I could just see it. I could just see the enemy throwing up things, you know, extra trouble, things not happening, things not working out, hallelujah, trying to rise up, you know, to get to take the Word of God, get the Word of God out of our hearts, hallelujah, out of fear or desperation. Not mine, Mac. I'm dedicated, that Jesus saved me. He's healed me more than once. He mended my marriage. He brought y'all into, for some of you's rational, most of you. I'm messing with you, praise God. So there's no turning back. No turning back. The Lord spoke to me one time, dropped it in my heart, and I'm you know, things in my past is still bothering me. And, you know, me and Teresa, we both committed adultery a bunch, and a lot of people, you know, we had a bad past, Mac. And so I thought we had to get out of Blount County before I kill somebody as a Christian. But you know, today I would invite them to this church, hallelujah, and I could worship with them. I ain't went nowhere. I changed Blount County. Hallelujah. I didn't let Blount County change me. I changed Blount County because I began to exalt the Lord bigger than the troubles in the past. But the Lord spoke to me. He said, take off the rear view mirror. And I was looking at the rear view mirror. And I thought, well, you know, a rear view mirror, the only thing a rear view mirror is looking back. I don't even use a rear view mirror in my truck, Mac. I use my side mirror. I don't like a rear view mirror. Travis told me one day, Dad, look in the rear view. I don't even look back or nothing, man. I look out my side. I can get a clear view of all back yonder over to the side. So you know what I did? I told the Lord, I said, Lord, there's too much muddy water over the bridge. He said, you've crossed the bridge, now burn it. He said, you don't need a bridge to go back. He said, burn the bridge in your mind. Burn the bridge. That's not me. That was my past. I'm moving forward. I'm on a new highway. And you know what? I read across the scripture not too long after that. It said that he will set us on a holy highway that evil can't cross thereon. Holy highway means a set apart place. We're set apart by the Lord. We're holy. Well, I'm not perfect. It didn't say you're perfect. He made you holy. He set you apart. That's how come we're not satisfied staying like we are most of the time. We're like, look, I got to change. I got to go. You know, that's not us. The Bible says it's him that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's a great thing. I quit trying to be religious and I got righteous. I quit trying to fit in with all them preachers and I got real. I quit trying to fit in with church folk. I just worship with them. Some people don't like, I live by worshiping one time, Mac, and I'm getting into it, boy. I mean, I'm into it. You know, I just make these faces. It looks sad or something. So a deacon comes over there, and he gets me by the arm. He said, hey. And I looked at him, and he said, the Lord said it'll be okay, and I started to pop him. He took me out of the presence of God. I thought, what are you talking about, man? I said, what are you talking about, man? Everything's good. You know, he's looking at my face, Mac. He should have been over worshiping. Instead of looking at my face, man. What are you looking at my face for? You're in the back, man. How'd you see me up there? he thought I was in pain or something, you know, Matt. But I was just worshiping God, man. I just had my eyes closed and I'm singing and I guess I'm making expressions or something. He thought I was suffering. That's the truth, man. Nah, man, I'm in the presence of the Lord. I done come in church and left all my troubles out yonder. I done left them at home, man. I had trouble at home, trouble at work, trouble at the house, trouble with my kinfolk, trouble everywhere. I get in trouble on the way to work. All you got to do is just go somewhere. So I went to, when I got to church, buddy, I throwed all that off at the door, Mac, and I got my mind on the Lord, hallelujah. And I got my mind, I thought I got to have help, and I got to seek him to get him. And see, I done read in the scripture where if you'll seek him, you'll find him. Knocking, the door will be open, hallelujah. See, I've started believing right. Therefore, I'm responding to the Lord right. And when you're responding the right way, God just begins to intervene in your spirit and in your mind. Hallelujah. He gives you a bill. Listen, there's powers of concentration that me and you have to develop that God will. Your mind belongs to you. I was thinking about Shannon. Here they are down to no money and all this. I don't know, been a while back. And God tells them to tear the bathroom out or something. Was it a bathroom? Tear a wall out or something in the bathroom. They go tear the wall out and find some drugs in there. Now they've been drugs in the house the whole time. They run in there and flush them, didn't you? But anyways, you know, been redeemed from that. Here he is tonight. He ain't hooked on drugs, praise God. Hallelujah. Got the ability. But we have the powers of concentration that we have to develop. What that means is you're able to keep your mind on God and the devil and everybody else trying to draw your mind away from Him or your troubles or whatever. And how we do that? The Word of God. We renew our mind with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Okay, desire. Go on, give me some more. Give me 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. I looked the word desire up. I thought, I wonder what desire really means. And so I got the Strong Concordance, and I studied the word desire in the Greek. Did you know your Bible was translated into English? It wasn't wrote in English. Your Bible was translated from Greek and Hebrew to English. And so that's why we got Strong's Concordance. It goes back to the original meaning of the word before it was translated into English. Right, that's right. The word desire means to ask whatsoever things you ask. Ask, request, whatsoever things you request. Changes it, don't it? Changes the meaning of that. Call for. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. You're requesting it. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that my light bill's paid. You're requesting it. Whatsoever things you request when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The word desire, ask, request, call for, require, believe, right there, is simply having a confidence that you ask Him to pay your bills and it's done. It'd be like calling up the bank that you have confidence in. Say, I need $1,000, you know, and they say, come get it. That kind of, you don't fear driving over there and they're going to change their mind before you get there. They done said, come get it. That's what doubt. Well, ain't no need in going. She didn't mean to tell me to come get it. That's doubt. You done got the word on it. By Jesus' stripes you healed. You done got the word. He'll supply all of your needs according to His riches. The thing that we have to do is not try to work it out for God to get what we desire. To yield that thing to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm yield. I remember one time I was bad jealous of Teresa. Y'all know that I done told you the story. But it's so powerful to me how God help me to come out of that jealous. Jealous ain't nothing but fear manifest. It means a man or a woman is afraid somebody's got something they got. They're competitive. Or going to take something. They can't nobody take nothing from me. I told the devil one time, I said, listen, you just send somebody after. But if they ain't got the grace I got, but God, they'll call me and pay me to come get her. I'm praying about this thing and I'm real bad jealous. See, it don't matter if it's jealous or bills, whatever problem, it don't matter. You know, it don't really matter what it is. And you know, and I heard the Lord, He said, give her to me. And I thought, oh no, man, he'll kill her and take her on. I don't want to do that. I mean, I'm thinking, nah, man, God's going to take her if I give her, you know, because, I mean, how could God get her? He's in heaven. That's what I'm thinking. He's up there, man. He's going to kill her if I do that, you know, or whatever. I know it sounds stupid, but that's just that reasoning I have. Come out of that bound world. I was bound, hallelujah, with fear and all of that. Couldn't even enjoy going to work or nothing. Well, anyhow, God spoke to me and He said, give her to me. And so once I got that reasoning out, I said, Lord, I don't know how to give her to you. I said, Lord, how do I give her to you, Lord? And the Lord said, He said, close your eyes. He said, and imagine the hands of Jesus coming down. So He give you an imagination. You can imagine what I just said. You have the ability to close your eyes and use your imagination to see yourself giving something to Jesus. And I did it. I seen myself set her into His hands. Praise God. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, don't you remember the scripture where I'm able to keep that you commit to me? And bless God, you know what, over a course of period of time, I don't have one jealous issue ever. I can be standing in the guy looking her up and down. I ain't going back there, baby. You can have her if you can get her. Well, I'm the best thing ever happened to her other than Jesus, and she knows it. She wouldn't get rid of a hunk like me for nothing, but God. You know, I had to tell her one time back when I come out, and I felt like less than a man out of surgery and all that, felt like it. Went through there and feeling sorry for myself a little bit, you know, because I, you know, just can't do much. I mean, Aiden could open a bottle of water and I couldn't, man. You know, I told her, I said, just wait on me a little while. Letting it get to me. Why'd I say that? Trying to go back in fear. Well, see, I done had one of my brother's wives, you know, he had something happened to him. She left him. Go have to take care of him a little bit. Start trying to work on me. Oh, Jesus, she gonna leave me. Then I thought, well, by God, if she does, it'd be the worst mistake she ever made. I'm almost back now, just can't feel it. Praise God. I can outrun her now. I couldn't tote my grandkids they here to the back of the church. But God, now I can go to the Halloween pumpkin patch and tote them for a half a mile. And not even be tired, Mac. I'm back better, baby. The word works. See, no matter where you're at, I'm telling you right now, but I spoke to that mountain. I spoke to my body. I kept my mind sharp and on the Lord and seen the Lord working healing and knew the word was working mightily in me, healing my body, black God, and bringing me back to a better place. And I said it just about every day. I'm going to be better than I was before I went in Jesus' name. I'm kind of like Trump. We're going to win, win, win. So I want to encourage you. You know, Mark 4 over there talks about the sower sows the word. We won't go there today. But it talks about different kinds of ground. Mark chapter 4, you know, sower soweth the word. And when the word's sown, Satan comes immediately to steal it. He talks about some different grounds in there, you know. And he talks about one where, you know, they received the word with gladness on stony ground. He said, it says on stony ground. Well, you know, I mean, I went and spread some dirt. Planted some grass back after I come out of the hospital in the backyard, tired of not having no grass up there. Well, there's a big rock up there. So I just put dirt about that deep over that rock back. Big rock. You can't move a huge one, you know. Well, you know, grass died on top of that rock. It couldn't go no deeper. The roots couldn't go deep enough. And so on that rock, you know, it got dry of water quicker than the rest of it. That's what, and it says, those that are on stony ground, he said, they receive it with gladness, but have no root in themselves. So after a while, through persecution and tribulation, they stumble. See, in other words, Satan comes to try to steal the word. You got to make sure your whole heart is in it. God, I'm really in it. God, I'm not perfect, but that's not a stony heart. That's a heart that is a good ground. That's good ground when you keep a repentant heart towards the Lord, you know, and a soft and pliable heart towards the Lord. That's good ground. That's what he said, and some fell on good ground, which hear the word, receive the word, and bring forth fruit with from some 30, 60, and 100. And you know, and I told God, I said, God, Faith Way Christian Center, the folk there, we're the church, an assembly, you know. I said, we're not people. We're people that are not shallow, Lord. We have good hearts, and therefore a harvest. You know what he means by that? You know what that means? They hear the word, they receive the word, they embrace the word, they do the word. They say, I'm healed. I don't care what anybody says. That's being a doer. Those people get healed. They bring forth fruit. You want to stay broke? Think broke. I said, praise God. Shannon, he back at work. I told the Lord, I said, praise God. Now I can go make that family some more money. Hallelujah. Praise God. Told the guy the other day, I said, some money's all you need. I mean, you know why I say that? Because the Bible says in Proverbs that money solves all problems. Money solves problems. You like Bill? You don't need Jesus. You need some money. Right? You can go over and tell Alabama Power, I love Jesus. I'm going to need it by faith. They going to call the law. They must go to that weird church over there. Come over here and need that light bill paid by faith. Oh, man, we need money. See what the religion will do? I've already got Jesus. All I need for him to do is bring his supply in, right? Just bring that supply in, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that all of my bills. I'm going to close with this. You know what? This is what I thought back after I got saved. And most people that I'd went to church with, Mom took a church with, I mean, Matt, they just thought that I was some crazy lunatic. Because I'm reading the Bible. Well, the scriptures, you know. I thought that's what they would want me to do. But they got jealous because they couldn't been in the Lord longer than me, and I was a Bible student. So it seemed like I wore them out with the scripture. But I'm back here, getting close to Christmas. We ain't had no garage doors. All the bills was due business. They was that thick, man. I mean, just, you know. And we wanted to give bonuses to the guys. Been working all year. And so I come in that morning, about 6 o'clock that morning. And I got in there, praise God, hallelujah. And I just got those bills. And I laid my hands on those bills. And I said, I'm speaking to you, mountain. I command you to be paid. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that money comes from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Lord, I thank you, Lord, by the end of this week that these bills will be wiped out and paid off. I thank you, Lord. What was I doing? Speaking to that mountain that was telling me we ain't going to have no money to give nobody nothing, praise God, or nothing. It was circumstances, and I told them what was going to happen. Jesus was waiting on me to give the command. And you know what? End of that week, every one of those bills was paid, Matt. God brought work in, praise God, and all of those was paid, and it was the week of Christmas, and we gave one of my brothers $800 cash. We give another brother of ours $900 cash, didn't have no money for their kids. They didn't tell us. We found out. And when we tallied it up, I said, glory to God, look at that, man, we're blessed going in. My brother, yeah, God's good. I said, no, you should have been in here when he told me what to do Monday. He told me to speak to him, and I did. And he'd go, whatever. I thought, okay, see you. I know it worked, praise God. So listen, be careful what you hear that folks say. When I hear somebody say something that's supposed to be spiritual, I say, where's it at in the Bible? You know, before I'm going to take that hook and bite that bullet, I'm going to find out if it's in the Bible and if it's in context in the Bible. You know? Girl called me up one time. She said, well, the Bible said don't lay for yourselves up treasures here on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. Quoted scripture. Said we're not supposed to have a lot of stuff down here. We're just supposed to be rich in Jesus. I told her, I said, man, you took that scripture out of context. I said, what about the one where Jesus took on himself poverty that I could be rich? What about the one over in Deuteronomy 28 that he said, if I will hearken to his voice, all these blessings will come on me and over time. He said, my barns will be filled. I'm not supposed to have barns. God put it in the Bible. I said, see, Satan's got you over there selling you whatnots and giving to the poor when you could be believing God for chunks of money so you can feed the poor and keep your whatnots. And have you some potluck stew. Made them mad. But that's all right. I eat what I want today. But God, you do too. Ain't none of y'all broke in here now. But God, hallelujah. This woman come to church. Gosh, I got to quit. Getting mad at Matt, because I read Malachi 3. You know, bring your tithes in the storehouse. And I mean, we have offering time, right? Getting mad. Call me up. Hey, you got to quit preaching on money. Everybody thinks you're just wanting money. And I said, really? I said, well, I'm going to take it to the Lord. I said, maybe, because I'm about prosperity, man. I've been broke and hated it. I hated it. And I believe God hates it. But anyways, I went to the Lord. I went on a fast. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm sorry if I bring up money too much at church. I didn't mean to, Lord. I'm not trying to get no money from them, Lord. I tithe. I do what I'm saying. You know, I give to the church. And, man, I mean, I give to people. I buy cars. At that time, I done give away 20, 25 cars, man. All kinds of stuff, motorcycles, you know, four-wheelers, all kinds at that time, you know. And I'm telling the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, if I, you know. And the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, I don't have a problem. She does. She don't give. And I thought, oh, is that the problem? It's not me at all. I said, yeah, praise God. Well, at that time, I had people in his church. Her husband had went to prison, left her with three or four kids here. God told him to bring them down to this church, that we would take care of them. They come and told me that. And I said, hey, you better make sure you heard from God. I mean, you better make sure. I mean, I said, if God told you to do it, well, then he'll take. I said, we ain't taking care of them. They come into church here, but now I know how to do it. At this time, praise God, I'm preaching to folk like that ain't got the money to buy a 99-cent bottle of dishwashing liquid in this church right here. They don't need to hear nothing about poverty and how God won't bless you. They need to hear about faith come by here, and they need to hear that God will bring you out if you'll give God a nickel, give him a dime, give him a button off your shirt, give him some kind of offering. Well, you know what, praise God? When she met with me again, I said, God's okay with it. I said, you've got the problem. You don't give. And it makes you mad every time I talk about it. I said, because God's bringing you under conviction of his word. I said, it's not me. I said, these people need to hear what the word of God. Well, you know what? Went on. Them people stayed here. They went on. And for you know it, praise God. I mean, I brought him out of, and God took, I was going to Birmingham, picking him up, gave him a job. Paying him out of the halfway house down there. I'd have been in jail for, but that's not the point. You know what happened? While he was in there, they started honoring God. This family started honoring God, and the guy that they owed a note to for their house went to him and said, y'all pay one more payment, and the house is paid in full. God began to work because they began to honor God through hearing the word of God. They began to believe different. Well, we can't do nothing because he's in jail and blah, blah. That word set him free. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, you know, get that Bible. Meditate on that word, praise God. And I mean, I've meditated on the word for years and years, but I still refresh it in my mind and in my heart, praise God. The word things don't get it out, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord.